Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. This is the second Sunday of the Advent season, so happy new year of the Christian calendar. I'm so glad to see all of your faces. I have a few announcements for you. If you'll turn to the back of your bulletin, there's some printed ones I want to give a shout out to. One of my favorite intergenerational events that we do here at West End is this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's the Advent Wreath Making Workshop. Y'all, I'm not lying. I look forward to this all year long, where we get greenery and we make a wreath and there's candles. Oh, it's a blast. The candle lighting service, which I'm sure most of you look forward to, our lessons and carols of music and celebration will be next Sunday. And you know that we have the Advent Missions Market out here in Reed Hall for special Christmas gifts. I also want to point your attention to two options in the theater. One is the nativities that are on display, but I also want you to save the date for December the 14th when we're showing the movie The Grinch Stole Christmas. And for those of you who care, it's the Benedict Cumberbatch version. So we'll read the original play and then see the movie. It'll be a beautiful celebration. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. prophet Isaiah declared that justice and peace shall come through the family of Jesus. Peace shall be established in all the world.
Get ready. Prepare for God's peace to reign.
Blessed be God who does such wondrous things.
We give thanks to God for this time of healing and hope.
We light this second candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of Christ's peace coming into our world. Hear these words of the psalmist. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more.
The gifts of the Advent season are hope, peace, love, and joy. Let us now make our confession before God, that by God's grace we might receive these gifts in abundance, and in turn share them freely with others. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're joining us online, we invite you to do that in the chat or with those around you. And here in the sanctuary, you may greet those in whichever ways you feel most comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Then a branch shall grow from the stump of Jesse. A shoot will spring from his roots. And on him the Spirit of the Lord will rest. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. A spirit of counsel and power. A spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And in the fear of the Lord will be his delight. He will not judge by outward appearances or decide a case on hearsay, but with justice he will judge the poor and defend the humble in the land with equity. But like a rod, his verdict will strike the ruthless, and his words will slay the wicked. He will wear a belt of justice. Truth will be his girdle. And then the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will tend them. Then the cow and the bear will be friends, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will learn to eat straw like cattle, and an infant will play over the cobra's hole. And a young child will dance on the viper's nest. There will be neither hurt nor harm in all my holy mountain. For the land will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, a scion from the root of Jesse will arise like a standard to rally the people. And the nations will resort to him. And his abode will be glorious. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If the children will come and join me up here for a little children's message. Well, I brought something to share with you today. These are magnets. I put them on a cookie sheet today because I wanted you to be able to see them all, but they normally live on the side of my fridge, my refrigerator. And you can see that there are all kinds of different animals here. There's a lion and a giraffe and a tiger and a crab and a dolphin.
And a leopard.
And a leopard, exactly.
And a
hippo. Yeah. And today's scripture passage actually talks about some of these animals. I want us to imagine for just a moment that these animals come from being magnets and they come alive in this space. First of all, I think we need a bigger space because we have a rhinoceros and an elephant and they're pretty large. But I think we have another problem. And the hippopotamus, exactly. So we might not have enough space for them, but also they might start fighting with each other, you know, because the gorilla might not get along really well with the horse, and so we might have a problem. But in today's scripture passage, there's a prophecy, which is basically just a story that's given to us from God, and that story talks about how the lion learns to eat straw with the ox or the cow. And all of their young start playing together and they get along and they're friends. See, sometimes in our lives, we can have some strong emotions like anger or frustration or sadness. And sometimes it makes us act out and hurt to other people. So we might fight with one another. But the story that's given to us from God talks about how There's a leader who can take a breath and work through those emotions and act in kindness and peace with one another. You know, so it's okay sometimes to get frustrated or upset, but God gives us a story of where we can act in kindness and with peace with one another. Let us pray that God's Spirit will help us do that. Gracious God, we give you thankful. We give you thanks. We are thankful for all of the animals in the world, all of the different expressions of your creativity and imagination. And I give you thanks for these children here and their creativity, their imagination, and all of the individual things that make them unique and beautiful. May we live in peace with one another. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Yeah, I'll see you guys later. If you're 3, 4, and 5, you can go to Children's Church. Follow Pastor Maggie and Pastor Aaron. About 2 springs ago, Jeff, my spouse, and I decided that we had visions of a fruit tree in our backyard. My vision looked a little bit more like citrus fruits, but then Jeff did his research, and it turns out they don't grow so well in Tennessee. So we decided to buy a fig tree. So we go to the nursery, and we pick out the fig tree, and we look for one with the brightest leaves, and you know how you pick it out, like that one, yeah. Okay, took it with us, take it home, plant it in our backyard. We water it all summer long, from the spring into the summer and into the fall, the leaves start falling off. And in the winter, we would go out and put a blanket over it. But last winter was kind of cold. There was a lot of ice and snow. And at the end of winter, when the daffodils started springing up in the early spring, we went out and looked at our fig tree, and it looked dead. So we decided to name it the fig stick, because all it was a stick coming out of the ground, and we were like, oops. So we waited until the end of spring to go out. We checked it almost every day, actually, but end of spring, we're like, oh, anything? Oh. Nope. The beginning of summer, we're like, okay, finally. No, not even a little bud, you know, like not even just, it was just, like looked at the top and kind of turned it, and it was like, ugh, this thing really might be dead. So just about the time that we were gonna go back to the nursery and do the whole thing over again, we checked it like at the end of summer, and right near the roots at the bottom, there was this little stalk coming up of new life springing forth. And we were so excited, we called our friends Sally and Sammy Swore, who have big fig trees in their backyard. And we're like, our fig tree's alive! Like, never fear. And so now I have a reminder on my phone, morning and night. And I have to be honest with you, Jeff does this 99% of the time. But we have a reminder to go outside at night and put a big tarp over our little fig stick. And in the morning, to remind us to take the tarp off so that the sun and the rain can do its job and protect this little branch from the winter cold. You see, this is the metaphor that's used at the beginning of the scripture prophecy. The tree of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. The tree of Jesse has become a stump, a stalk. But up from the root grows a branch. See, I don't need to remind you of what it feels like to be a stump. We in our lives individually have experienced that. Maybe it's a health diagnosis or a lost job. In our friends and family, it's that those relationships that just don't work no matter how hard we try or try to mend them. And our institutions, ones that we have worked our entire life for, seem to be ripped apart. We know what it's like to feel like a stump. And yet, from the roots grows a branch. And the prophecy talks about this branch being a leader. And on our Christian tradition, we interpret this leader to be Christ Jesus. Because the prophecy describes the leader in this way. It says that this leader is filled with wisdom and truth, and that he doesn't make decisions based on appearance or hearsay or gossip, but based the decisions on truth, and that those decisions are for justice for the poor, and that those decisions prioritize the humble and meek. Another thing it says about this person is that he slays the wicked with his words. Not a sword like we're used to, but like with his words. Y'all, his words slay. And that breath is the strength of this leader. How many times can we turn to our breath in anxiety and say, this is where my strength and grounding lies. This is the Spirit of Christ. But my favorite thing it says about this leader is that this leader, Jesus, delights in the fear of the Lord. Some of y'all are like, whoa, this sermon just took a turn. Because sometimes with the translation of fear of the Lord, it can be misled into sort of fire, brimstone. It's not that. The fear of the Lord is an overwhelming, overcoming knowledge of the power and presence of God. That is the fear of the Lord. It is a belief that God, in God's ineffable greatness, majesty, is here with us, among us, around us. And when we get swept up and delight in the fear of the Lord, all of a sudden our imaginations can align with God's imaginations. And we have, like the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, we have dreams of impossible possibilities. And that's how the prophecy continues. With, as I was describing to the children, it's a child-led zoo. It's almost like Liam just dumped out all of his animals, you know, like the farm ones and the zoo ones and the dinosaurs, and it was just like, you know, playing with them. It's a very playful image, an image of utopia, an image that harkens us back to the Garden of Eden, where all had enough and everyone, all the children, get along. And yet images, as playful as this is, and as beautiful as it is, images like this, they strike us feeling some kind of way because we're like, how could that happen? How could the geopolitical lions of this world that just war and take and take and take be at the same table, at the same dining space as the sheep? And how could the ox and the cow cultivate within them a forgiveness, let alone a reconciliation, to eat at the same table? We know the lions and the lambs around us and in us. How could these be together? And that, my friends, is exactly where we are in Advent. Between the world to come and the world as it is. To quote one of our favorite Christmas hymns, long lays the world in sin and error, pining till he appears and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope in a weary world. So we find ourselves in the darkness, lighting candles of hope, peace, and love, and joy, praying that there will be an inbreaking, a sprout rising up from the roots, something to hold on to see, to experience. Y'all, most of our lives were down to a stump during COVID. And that was true for the church as well. But I see branches in this community. One that was the most inspiring to me is the quiet space. So we had a lot of neighbors that were coming and hanging out in our lobby, and we knew that we needed to create a space for folks to come and make a phone call and have a meal, a quiet place. And lay leaders rose to the occasion to be those kind eyes and a space for folks. Folks that are on the margins. Another branch that's sprouting up, and I can see just the peaks of the leaves, and I'm hopeful that it's going to grow into this amazing tree throughout 2023. It is our 150th celebration of being West End United Methodist Church. We are a community sharing the loving light of Christ. And I can see that budding up, and we each will have a part of participation in it. But I want to share a vision that a lay leader shared with me and the staff and other lay leaders, that we would create a groundswell connected to our beliefs, our bedrock beliefs, and sharing stories of how we found spiritual formation and connection and belonging here in this community, but not just share it with each other, share it out there at water coolers, dinner tables, dorm rooms, cocktail parties, sharing it with others about an invitation to seeing the branches that are shooting up out of the stump. You might only be able to see the stump right now, and that's okay. But I invite you to look in places of vulnerability and poverty, because that is where Christ will be. And you might be able to see this joy, this little hope springing up from the roots. And if that's the case, I invite you to put a reminder on your phone to tend to it, to keep it warm at night and give it sun during the day, so that we can grow that. And you don't have to do it alone. You see, we have some sheep, some oxen, some bears, a lion, a tiger, oh my. And most of all, we have a child who is coming in Jesus Christ, who will lead the way. Thanks be to God.
The voice of the prophet and the preacher have reminded us that we believe in a God of impossible possibilities. We have an opportunity now to affirm our faith in this God. And I would invite you, if you are here in the sanctuary or if you're worshiping at home, to stand as you are able and join with me in the affirmation of faith found on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We participate in the kingdom that God is creating among us through our prayers. And we come now to a time where, as a community of faith, we pray together for and with one another. If you have prayer concerns or joys that you would like to share with the pastors on the staff or with the congregation, you can let us know by, if you're in the sanctuary, filling out one of the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you and placing it in the offering plate as it goes by. Or if you're worshiping with us online, you can go to our website and under Contact Us. And any day of the week, any time of day, you can leave a prayer request there. As we gather our prayers this morning, we remember and pray for Michael Weaver and his family, who are mourning the death of his father, Marlon Dow Weaver, who died on November 27th. A memorial service was held on December 3rd at First United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. We also pray with Jocelyn, Nick, Henry, and Caroline Chambers, who are mourning the death of Jocelyn's father, Thomas D. Aders, who passed away on November 30th here in Nashville. A private service was held here on Friday, December 2nd. With these and others on our hearts, we pray together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of hope, God of peace, God of impossible possibilities, you surprise us with visions we never imagined possible. Natural enemies embracing and living in harmony with one another. In our ever-polarizing world, this image seems only achievable with you. We pray that you would give us the tools and the courage we need to live into your beautiful vision of a world at peace. We pray for peace in a world plagued by war, violence, poverty. We pray for true peace, not simply the absence of violence, but peace with justice that signals the flourishing of all. We pray that your presence would be felt and made known to all those who need it most deeply this day. We pray for the lonely and the sick, the depressed, those in pain, those who are grieving, those who feel lost. And if we, O God, are in a place of helping, give us the words to say and the presence needed to come alongside those in pain. In this moment of silence, we name before you those in our hearts for whom we pray today. For this deep peace that surpasses all our understanding, we pray in the name of your Son, the Prince of Peace. Amen. We participate in the good work that God is doing even now in our midst through our giving. And so as we prepare to make our offerings this day, may we give with glad and generous hearts to the God who has been so generous to us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, merciful God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be light to all the world. By your tender mercy, you have brought the dawn from on high to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Your own Son came among us as a servant, to be Emmanuel, God's presence with us. He humbled himself in the obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which was given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant, which was poured out for you and for many, for all, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by your blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Confidence of God's children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, this is the bread of life, broken and given to us all. And this is the cup of salvation. Amen.
Amen. My friends, the table has been set. Our host is none other than Jesus the Christ, who invites all who are here and all who are not here to come to this table. You do not have to be a United Methodist or a member of this congregation. You don't have to be anything at all. You are invited and welcomed by Jesus himself. If this is your first time to receive communion in our particular congregation, just a few words of instruction. We invite all who are able to come forward and kneel at the altar rails. The choir will begin, followed by those in the transept and balcony, and then the remainder of us in the nave. As you come forward and kneel, we invite you to have your hands open so that those serving you will know that you have yet to be served. Once you've received the elements, you're welcome to stay at the altar rails as long as you would like and pray. If you're unable or you choose not to come forward, Nancy will be making her way around the sanctuary with elements for you, if you'll just raise your hand and let her know that. All of the elements we share today are gluten-free. We always have an opportunity to make a second mile gift to the missions of the congregation. This month's communion offering will go to the pastor's discretionary fund. These are the funds that we use every day to help folks who call the church in need of assistance. We've helped with things such as rent assistance, medical bills, life-saving medications, and so forth. So as you give today, know that you are helping directly those in our neighborhood who need it. And now we invite you to come and feast on the grace that is offered here.
If you will rise in body or in spirit and join with me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Fear of God, that belief in the presence and power of Christ, discovering branches and tending to them. Amen.